Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in December, the second Sunday of our Advent season. I want to welcome you today, and if you're visiting here, we extend a special welcome to you. And if it is your first time here, we invite you to take a welcome card from the pew rack in front of you, and we ask that you fill the card out, place it in the offering plate, so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the inside back cover of the bulletin today several activities going on this week, and I'm not going to read them to you, but just want to call your attention to them. Do want to highlight that next Saturday at 2 in the afternoon, the women will be having a Christmas tea here in the parlor, and all the women of the church are invited to attend that. And next Sunday afternoon and evening is the 72nd annual Festival of Carols. And that's a wonderful concert that will be here in the sanctuary. Singers from all over the area will be joining together in a combined choir. There will also be special music by a children's choir, as well as music from both Casa de Fe Alabanza and Global Ark Baptist Church, the two congregations that share space with us. We'll all be offering special music next Sunday afternoon, so hope you will be able to attend that. A couple other things I want to bring up is that today is the final day. If you would like to purchase a gift for the Angel Tree Project, there's a bulletin board in Judson Chapel. Today's the last day to take an angel and to purchase the item and bring it back by next Sunday. All items need to be back by next Sunday so that they can be going to housing families. Also, I believe the White Cross request list is still out in Judson Chapel if you'd like to sign up for that. And I want to give you an update on our penny project. As of this morning, we have collected $1,525 towards our goal of $2,000. I looked online this morning, and there the goal of the denomination was to raise 15 million pennies. And as of this morning, they have raised 10,333,426, so they're a little shy. That does include, I did report our amount this week. There's a little bit more I need to add to that, but ballpark figure, our amount is included in what the denomination is reporting at this time. So if you would like to give pennies, coins, bills, checks to help children in poverty in the local area, I encourage you to do so. There is a container on the coffee hour table, and this will be the last Sunday for receiving gifts during coffee hour to the Penny Project. So if you'd like to contribute, I encourage you to do so. Also, I do want to introduce at this time the Reverend Richard Robison, Reverend Dr. Richard Robison. Rich is familiar to some folks. He was here 35 years ago as the associate pastor. And Rich is going to be the pulpit supply interim pastor while I am away for the next 6 weeks on leave. So I want to welcome you, Rich, and thank you for coming today and worshiping with us. And I do want to say something to the congregation. I hope you will continue to come to worship on Sunday mornings, even though I'm not here. They're ably covered, and just hope that the worship service and the ministry of the church will continue, and just hope that you will participate in that. Because I know when the pastor's away, the people stay away sometimes. But hopefully that's not the case. This is a special Advent and Christmas season, and I hope you will continue to attend worship and other activities here at the church. So let's, our responsive call to worship this morning is in the blue hymnal. It's selection number 166, and I invite you to turn there at this time. We'll be reading verses from Matthew and the prophet Isaiah. So let us read responsively from God's holy word as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain.
You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout.
Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah,
here is your God.
Our opening hymn this morning is O Come, Emmanuel, number 163. We'll be singing verses 1 and 2 only.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O come, Emmanuel, and be light for our darkness. Be comfort in our grief, a guide for our path. Be a friend for our loneliness, an oasis for our searching. O come, Emmanuel, restore our joy, heal our wounds, and bring us peace. We ask this in the name of the one who came for us, Jesus the Christ. We now pray as he taught, praying aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Seated. Naomi, I'm going to ask you to come down front. I'm not going to make you have a whole children's message, but since you're one of the youngest ones here, I'm going to ask if you will light the candles in a few moments, and so I want to get you down here. So you just have a seat for a moment. It is the season of Advent, and we started last Sunday, and it's the second Sunday of Advent. We have the purple pulpit hangings, which means preparation, a time of getting ready. Our manger scene is growing. In this church, we add characters each Sunday until the whole complement is there. We decorated yesterday, and I want to thank all those who came and helped to decorate the church, or not just here in the sanctuary, but other rooms throughout the building. And just thank you to all who came down and did help with the decorations. That was wonderful. So as we're lighting the second candle, we're getting closer to Christmas, and it's a time of preparation. It's a type of countdown to Christmas. And we see those all the time. And I heard that on the radio this morning and on the TV. It's how many days were left till Christmas? And you know, some of us shudder with that, and some of us can't wait to get, can't wait till the day comes. But as we prepare for that, we light our candles as a countdown to that. And the words to the song, Light the Advent Candle, are printed in the bulletin. And I invite you to turn to that on page 2, and let's sing that verse of that song as Naomi lights the Advent candles today. This time we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with the congregation before spending some moments in prayer. And I have a few requests this morning I'd like to share with you. Spoke with Claire Stevens last night, and she has asked for continued prayers for her brother-in-law, Gerald, who's not doing real well, and both emotionally and physically. Basically, doctors have told him there's nothing else they can do for him physically. And so he's, struggling with that, and we want to keep him in prayer, and keep Claire in prayer as well. Claire continues to find it a little struggling, but, to do some physical things, but the therapists have been there, and She said she always feels better after the therapists have been there. She might hurt the next day, but does feel the physical therapy is helping her. And enjoying time with her son and family in Florida as she's reacclimating to that, and talking to us about snow and hoping that we don't have too much. So we want to keep both Claire and her brother-in-law, Gerald, in prayer today. We obviously want to keep in prayer the residents of San Bernardino and California and other areas that have been touched by massive killings in recent days and weeks. I heard some statistics on Thursday that there have been more mass killings this year than there have been days in the year. And it's just unbelievable, that the statistics were just unbelievable. So we need to pray for not only our nation, but our world today. And when we think about, Christ coming as the Prince of Peace, and what does that mean for us? What does Christ's peace mean? And is it something different than what, we think of peace? And just, we need to focus on that, I think, this Advent season. About that. I also want us to pray for our congregation. I want to pray as this time of temporary transition will be going on. We want to pray for Dr. Robinson as he's going to be leading the congregation for the next several weeks. And pray for me as well. I'm going to be having surgery tomorrow. Hopefully we'll be out of the hospital in a day or two at most. And we'll be at home recuperating after that. So, but just, lift up the congregation as well. And I do encourage you to continue about the ministry and mission of the congregation. Do you have any celebrations or concerns you'd like to share with the church family this morning? Sharon. You have lots of elected leaders to rely on, Sharon, so just pick up the phone and call somebody, and and I'm only a phone call away, and after a couple days, give me a couple days to get get back on my feet. In fact, there's stuff on your desk right now that's like, I need to tell her about that, but that won't be for a couple days, but it will be fine. We will get through this. So, any other requests for prayer today? Mark? Yes, thank you. He is a people person. We will. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. But the congregation is in very good hands. I'm not worried at all. It's just, I've been trying to get all the little things done. And I know if what doesn't get done doesn't get done, and it'll get done some other time, or it's not important enough to get done. And I've just sort of come to that conclusion. So, the congregation's in very good hands. And that's why I hope that you will, take advantage of, his ministry here and participate with him. And a request over to Peggy. That's right. Good news for Peggy's grandson and wife, Michael and Ashley, that we've been praying that they're expecting a child, and there was something wrong with the fetus, but that's all wrong, that everything is fine. May I say the gender? Yeah, okay. So they're expecting a boy, which tends to run in the family anyway. And so we just celebrate. That is a true celebration today, that that there's nothing wrong with the baby, and is developing fine and healthy. And we just celebrate with Michael and Ashley today with that wonderful news. A wonderful time of the Advent season to get that kind of news. So we do that as a wonderful celebration. Any other prayer requests today? Oh, Richard.
We need to pray for Sugantha's family in India. They've had, how many days of rain? 42 days of rain. They have terrible flooding in their homes and everything.
Okay,
electricity and lots of problems.
Sugantha's family in India has suffered under 42 days of rain, almost like the Noah in the Ark type of thing, and that their homes are being flooded. And so we want to remember them. And other areas that we sometimes hear about in the news, but it doesn't mean as much unless we know somebody that's affected by it. It then becomes more personal. So Sugantha, who's in the choir, her family is in India, in their home, and suffering from flooding, from the long time of rain. Any other prayer concerns or prayer requests, celebrations? If not, then let's go to God. Oh, Liz? Okay. So Dave Hart's dad's been in and out of the hospital and has some procedures coming up, so we just want to keep him. His first name? Charles. Charles Hart. So we want to keep him in prayer today as difficult to have a loved one going through some health issues. Anyone else have a prayer request? Then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our private prayers. We pray now, Lord, that you would hear our corporate petitions as well. As we gather this day, Lord, we realize that this season of Advent and anticipation is filled with joy for many people. It's a time of celebration. But for some of us, this holiday seems to be a struggle as well. There are those who have experienced significant losses this year, a loved one, their health, their livelihood, changing their understanding and experience of what Christmas may mean to them. Lord, we pray that you would wrap them in your warm embrace and comfort them in their grief. There are those for whom Advent is not a time of joyful anticipation, but a season of dread. Help them to let go of the past hurts, disappointments, and unrealistic expectations. May their hope be turned to you, O God, and your promises, not into the false promises that this world often offers. You assured us, Lord, through your prophet Isaiah, that one is coming who will bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, release prisoners from darkness, comfort for those who mourn, bring gladness instead of mourning, and clothe us in praise instead of despair. Help us to take these words to heart, O God, and let them light our way this Advent season. We pray these and all the concerns and cares of our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who was, is, and will come again. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, we do celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And on these Sundays, we receive two different offerings during the service. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ministry and mission of this congregation. This time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Suffering song.
Let's pray together. Lord, as we present these tithes and these gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the message of the manger of Jesus coming to earth for us, for each one of us, not just those in this building today, but for all the world. We ask this in his name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. And if we were in a more liturgical church, we probably would not be reading this until early January. I wanted this for my text today. To set the scene, in Matthew's Gospel, the wise men or magi had seen the star, went to Jerusalem. Herod met with them, was afraid. Sent them on their way, said, come on back, once you find him, once you find this new king that's been born, and I want to go and worship him also. And the magi or the wise men go on their way and find Jesus and his mother and his father and bow down and present three gifts to him. And then, being warned, they go home a different way and do not go back to Herod. So, setting that scene, in verse 13, we begin our text. Now, after the wise men had left the Holy Family, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. This was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. May we be blessed through the reading, hearing of God, of application of God's holy word this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, most of us are so familiar with the Christmas story. And yet this is perhaps not quite as familiar. We don't like some of the things that take place in this part of the scripture. But yet, Lord, it is part of your word. Lord, we pray this day that our hearts and our minds may be opened to receive a word from you, a message that may help us in our daily living as we prepare during this Advent season to once again celebrate the birth of Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Well, we've survived Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. And I hate to be the bearer of stressful news, or maybe good news for some, but there are only 19 days, less than 3 weeks, remaining before Christmas. How do you feel when you hear that news? Is there joyous anticipation for the few days remaining? Or is there dread in your heart as you scan the mental or perhaps paper or electronic list of everything you want to accomplish before the day arrives? In recent years, I have heard numerous people, including myself, claim that it's difficult to get in the Christmas spirit. Many of us focus on the difficulties that we face in our everyday lives, as well as the more global problems of today. And we just don't feel the way we think we should feel at Christmas time. If we pause to think for a moment, it does sometimes seem difficult to sing joy to the world in times like these. How can we think of joy in the world when every morning or evening we hear or read the latest litany of persons who have been murdered, of the latest country which suffers from terrorists, or which famous person is being questioned about his or her finances, extramarital affairs, or other personal information? Where does Christmas, the coming of Jesus, fit into this picture of today's world? What we need to understand and remember is that Jesus did not come into a world that was antiseptic and clean and free from problems. For there were soldiers' threats and babies' cries which pierced that first Christmas time, according to Matthew. It is the part of the Christmas story which we often ignore, or we rather forget. But the birth of Jesus was not welcomed by everyone. Herod the king did not want it. He was afraid of anyone who might grow up and become a threat to his reign. So he sought to discover where the child was. When he could not do that, when he was thwarted by the wise men, he had every boy 2 years old and under in the area killed. Soldiers with their threats as they walked up to the door, and the heart-wrenching cry of the babies as they died. Horrible thoughts and sounds, but they were there in the midst of our Christmas story. What could this possibly say to us? The first lesson we learn from this part of the Christmas story is that even though there is suffering in the world, there is also a God who came to share it. Did the parents understand why little babies were killed? I'm sure they did not. Such innocent suffering was outrageous. But Jesus had to face danger too. Mary and Joseph had to flee by night in order to keep from being found by Herod's soldiers. Yet that baby was a reminder of hope. That baby was God who came into the world in the midst of all of its suffering. This is what Christmas tries to remind us. And as we prepare for Christmas, we need to remember that our God is a God who understands our struggles and our pain. God has come to share with share that with us. Emmanuel has come. God is with us. In our suffering, we are not alone. The second lesson we learn from today's text, which is part of the Christmas story in Matthew's Gospel, is that even though there is uncertainty in the world, God also helps us face it. Mystery and uncertainty surely surrounded the participants in the Christmas story. According to Matthew, Mary and Joseph did not have a lot of time to enjoy their child. Instead, they had to snatch him up and run. They did not know what was going to happen to them, for Egypt was a strange and foreign place to them. They also did not know what God would do with them. They lived on the edge of mystery and uncertainty, but they lived with God, and that made the difference. For God had already gone before them to prepare for the birth. They had already seen and experienced that. And therefore, they lived with the belief that God would go back, would go before them to Egypt and prepare the way for them. Before them lay the unknown, but before them also lay God, a God who was sufficient. Hymn writer Carolyn Winfrey Gillette depicts this scene with a verse from one of her hymns with these words: "Jesus, you were once a baby, sought by those who would destroy. Into Egypt you were carried, far from home, a little boy. Were you wrapped up warm to travel, safe from terror, free from harm? Did you feel God's strong protection, snuggled there in Mary's arm?" We do not always know what's going to happen. We find ourselves asking some very difficult questions, such as, what do we do with terrorist groups of people around the world and in this country? We have politicians right now debating that. I don't know if we have any solutions ourselves, but it's a question that many of us are struggling with. Others may be asking, will I have enough money to retire on? Or if you're already retired, will my money last as long as I live? Others may be feeling about their health and asking, is the pain I'm feeling serious? For those may be asking, will I ever get married? Will I ever have children? Will I ever get a job? Will I ever graduate? Life-changing questions. Transitional answers. Big parts of our lives that we don't always have answers to and things that we worry about. Then the questions can go on and on, yet we may not have any answers. We do not know what the future holds. Tomorrow is a mystery and always will be. However, Christmas tries to help us remember what we do know, and that is that God is in the tomorrow of our lives. It's an axiom of our faith that God never asks us to do anything that we cannot do. But it's also true that God will never ask from us anything God will not help us to do. A third lesson from this sad part of the Christmas story is that there is death in the world, but also a God who overcame it. How terrible it must have been to see the soldiers with their swords, to hear the cries of the babies as they died. But this is the paradox of Christmas. There is birth and there is death. One baby is born. Many babies die. The strange fact of the Christmas story is that this very baby who had to run for his life was the one who grew up to conquer death. He grew up to face it. He went to the cross and suffered a horrible death, but he overcame it. But the story does not end there. The story does not end at the cross. The story does not end at the sealed tomb. For Christ rose from the dead. This child had come to make sure that death was to be feared no longer. He would conquer death. And those who put their faith in him would discover that he is with them. He is with us forever. Death is a part of our lives, and we cannot overlook it. But Christmas sounds the warning for the end of death. Christmas reminds us that God has conquered death. Life with God is forever. It's eternal. Death is not the end, but a passageway to that which is greater and better than anything we experience here on earth. Those who have put their faith in the hands of God are always in the hands of God. And nothing in this world or beyond can ever change that. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome these words, "I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This Advent and Christmas, there will be terrible sounds to hear and painful experiences to endure. It was the same in the world in which Jesus was born. Suffering, uncertainty, and even death. It was all there. Jesus faced it all, but it was to such a world and for such a world that he came to help us struggle with these enemies and defeat them. Jesus reminded his closest followers of this as he gathered with them around the Passover table. In a few moments, we too will celebrate around the table which commemorates this last meal he had with his disciples. In this season of preparation, when we get ready for Christ's coming, may we also remember why Jesus came to earth. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be open and prepared to receive him once again. May we listen to and follow his teachings and emulate his examples in our daily living. What God has done in Christ is forever. Therefore, despair can be swallowed up in hope. Death can be swallowed up in life. And Christmas can be celebrated with joy and love because God has come. God is come. And God will always be there for us all. Let's pray together. Lord, we at times do feel fearful and angry by the news that we hear of this world. And yet, Lord, when we turn to Scripture, we realize that there was danger throughout the biblical times, and especially at the time when Jesus was born. The world was not a safe place. Lord, we pray that this Advent season will be a time that we may struggle with our fears, struggle with our despair, that we may overcome those through your power, that we may recognize that though there are dangers in this world, that you are always there to be with us. Not necessary to protect us fully from physical harm, but Lord, we know that you are there to journey with us. We pray now that you would journey with us through this Advent season as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Christ once more. We ask this all in his name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is "God Rest You Merry Gentlemen," number 184. We'll be singing verse 1 only.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering. Join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress, that we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of the ordinances of the church, that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm justice and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute of our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of the faithful and evangelical mission, for the relief of the distressed, and for the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve Him and our sisters and brothers in the name of His Son.
Jesus is the host of the table. And as the host, Jesus invites each one of us with these words. He asks us, "Do you love me? Do you believe that I was born, walked among humanity here on earth, went to the cross, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity?" And if we're able to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe," Jesus says, "Come, eat and drink with me." You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for as the host, Jesus invites all believers to the table. Let's pray together. Lord, we realize that we have not earned a seat at your table. It's only through your grace and your mercy. In these moments, Lord, we confess to you in silence those sins that we are aware of that we have committed, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do ask that you would forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us, and purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. That last night, Jesus, the man, gathered in the upper room with his closest followers to celebrate the Passover, the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery so long ago. But Jesus took the bread, a part of that meal. And of course, the disciples, of course, were expecting to hear certain words. But instead, Jesus prayed over the bread, blessed it. And then he said these new words: "This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you." And then he said, "Whenever you eat this bread, remember me." Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Broken bread, representing broken body, a body that we celebrate at Christmas time being born, but yet we know the person grew to be a man, but allowed his body to be broken on the cross so that we may be whole. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal continued, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks to God for the cup, and began passing it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, and saying that this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we may have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came to earth to be among us, to be God with us, and that you willingly went to the cross, allowing your body to be broken, your blood to be shed for us. Lord, help us to live lives that reflect our gratitude for all that you have sacrificed for us. We ask this in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us that the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that evening before going out. Our closing hymn is Because He Lives, number 256. We sing verses 1 and 2 only. May the rough places in your life be made smooth. May the valleys of despair be filled with comfort. May the door to your heart be wide open. And may the glory of Emmanuel be with you always. Amen.